Welcome to Digital Nightmares, where one lucky host gets to choose their nightmare. My name is Max, and I'm joined by Eric. Jasmine.
Oh I God. Knew you were going to do that. I knew you were going to do that.
And Dan.
Hello.
And Dan. Hello. How's everyone doing?
Good.
Good.
Good. I'm terrified because there's a bug somewhere behind me. It climbed in my original water and I had to get new water.
That's what you were screaming about.
Bug in the water.
Yes. Yes.
What type of bug, though? That's important.
I was talking with my girlfriend. She said that it was a box elder.
Okay, those are horrible. And they're extremely, like, if they're in your place, like, you should be careful.
What do you mean, should be careful?
Well, because they're, like, careful. They, like, get really house invasive.
Oh, they're everywhere right now.
Yeah.
I'm not even sure they got here.
Before in my life.
They're like these black and red beetles, and they stink when you squish them.
Oh, okay, never mind. It's not that. I think she's wrong. Okay. It was like some other bug that's kind of red.
It's just little, black. They got little red lines. They got little orange lines on.
I don't think it had orange lines on it. It was like completely black. It wasn't a fly though.
Maybe it was a youth.
Bug talk. Yeah. Oh, I'm getting a picture now. A picture was just sent. Let's see if I can get an idea. No, it didn't look like that.
Oh, thank goodness. Like
okay. Well, they're everywhere. They're constantly in everybody's business here.
Mm-hmm.
Are they really? I thought they're just gross.
So for those, does anyone want to try to describe this little bug since the listener can't see it?
It's a little black box square bug with little red eyes.
It's round as hell, man.
Orange diamond on his back. He's a
orange
cutie.
Diamond. Yeah. And they kind of look like a. Oh.
Ooh.
You just showed me a zoomed in picture of it and it looks like some CG shit. Oh.
That's like a mite or something. That's like microscopic.
I think it's its mouth or its face.
Or feet.
Mouth. Okay. This is a good way to start a horror one, I think. Yeah. Yeah. This is a great. Yeah. Just describing pictures.
this is where you do the segue, Max. This isn't podcast about bugs.
This isn't a. See, Jasmine, it's funny because like you've actually been the one basically doing the segue, like the best every time. Like I'm still like stuck on whatever we're talking about. Okay, so bugs. We got some tired guys that have a bunch of stuff going on, and Dan is just doing dandy.
Who's tired guys?
You and
Jasmine. Oh, yeah.
Dang, dude.
Tired Stop guys. Calling me Jasmine on purpose now.
I'm not. Purpose. I'm not. I swear I called you all the time. And then I don't know what's going on.
Our listeners proved to us what they were, right?
I don't know. I haven't actually checked the poll. But then, no, didn't Jasmine?
Yeah, one of someone Jazz, on Instagram said that you call me Jazz in the intro and then. Or was it Jasmine in the intro and Jazz everywhere else? It was one of those.
There's Jazz in the intro, I think, and Jasmine everywhere else. I feel like it.
Yeah. You know what I'm going to do from now on? I'm just going to switch back and forth every time.
Okay.
As much as I
think that's
remember.
What you were already doing, which is good.
I think I was doing that anyways, yeah. I tend not to use nicknames. I tend to almost always go with the full name.
You call me Eric, though, which is like not my full name.
You also say
Dan. What is your full name?
Daniel.
Rick?
I don't want you using my full name on the podcast.
Oh, your full name. No, I'm not talking about it. I'm not going to call it. Oh, when I said
well,
your
you're
full...
using my nickname.
Your government name. Yeah. All
right. There you go.
But anyways. So, Digital Nightmares, as Jasmine alluded to earlier. Sorry, I should have said Jazz there. is basically like the dating game for horror games. This time, Jan. This time, Dan.
That's a nickname.
Well, this time,
you didn't
Dan.
Use nicknames. Come on.
This time, Dan will be choosing one of our horror game suggestions, and if that suggestion's game gets picked, that person will get a point. At the end of the year, whoever has the most gets to choose the opening game of the next season. That's their reward. And Eric is back this time from his long journey.
Yay!
Abroad,
yeah. Before we jump into the game itself, we have a challenge. Now, each time we do like a round, each the killers, the three suggestors, have to answer a question or tell a story, and whichever one the victim decides is the most interesting, funniest, whatever, answers the question the best, gets to choose the order that we present our suggestions in. So this time, I feel like we referenced this. I don't even remember if this was mentioned in the podcast, and I kind of switched it up a little bit, but this time, each killer must describe the best fictional character to replace them on this podcast. It can either be something that's very close to yourself, or how you would respond to things, or it could be like something that you just think would be really interesting or funny.
I know instantly which one mine is.
Okay.
All right. Oh, God, I don't think I have a good answer for this. It's difficult.
Yeah, I'm glad I don't have to do this one.
Oh, my God.
Okay, I can say mine. Yeah.
All right, I'll start with...
Jasmine, you want to go first, Jasmine?
Okay, so no, like...
please go ahead, Jess.
The joke kind of with my family, we're always like, oh, which fictional character are you? And the joke is that I'm the animal sidekick. And they always say that I'm Donkey from Shrek. So... I'm gonna pick
it's Donkey.
Yeah, I'm gonna pick Donkey from Shrek 2 specifically to replace me in this podcast, because I think he's...
Wait, why does your family call you Donkey?
Because, dude, I have like major sidekick animal energy, like that's my vibe.
Wow.
But you're funny and charming.
Oh, you're so nice. Get
all of the
Well,
you know,
not the last part, but I do tend to have those like little jokes,
the charm
here and there. Maybe like donkey charm, I guess, if you will.
Donkey charm.
Okay.
Yes.
There you go.
The like cringy smiles and the goofy personality, I suppose.
There you go. I think you're selling yourself short, sidekick.
Hey.
So terrified the bug is gonna get me.
Okay, I think the perfect fictional representative for me on this podcast would be the bug.
The bug,
like the hero, the bug, like
no, the bug in Max's life.
Oh, you
know, the specter of bugs for Max. I think that would really just put Max on edge all the time. I think it would bring all the same energy. I don't think I differ that much from like a large chitinous bug, but I think. Knowing Max, knowing that it was me, and that I was a bug, and I'd send him like little bug selfies, and when I showed up, he'd have to like hug me because we're still friends, even if I'm a bug.
Yeah,
I think that.
I don't know about that.
I think it would put him on edge. He'd hear all my like chitinous sounds. This is really like a backside of the podcast thing, not a front side. But he'd have to listen to all like the little skittering sounds I'd make, and of course I'd send him lots of little, like bug friends in the mail.
Why is that like both that terrifying and adorable at the same time?
So we could say you were the narrator in Metamorphosis.
But I see. No, I was just thinking, is it no the bug in your dreams, Max, is like a fictional character.
I mean, that's true too, but I'm imagining you as the guy from Metamorphosis now. So
just trying to get to work.
I think that's
Max,
pretty
would
close.
Would you still love him if he was a bug?
No. Maybe if he was like a tarantula or something.
If I was a cool bug, or
yeah, a tarantula would be kind of cool. What would that be? I need some a definition. Like what
an arthropod is?
It's just a water bug. Does that mean like?
It's like a water bug, dude.
I guess it's okay. I mean, I'm not living in the water, so I don't think it really bother me. No, so I wouldn't eat you.
It's a water bug.
No, I want to eat you now.
Why do I feel like this is equivalent of like when girlfriends ask their boyfriends, would you still love me if I was a worm?
That's my daily conversation with Max. So I feel like that fits me really well, right? Would you still love me if I was the bug in your room? Always there to satisfy you.
I think I already answered the question. Unless you were a tarantula, I'm like, no way. No. maybe like a big beetle. Because I think when they're bigger, they're a little less scary. You know what I mean?
Oh,
like
that's good.
Like one of those Japanese ones where it's like there's like...
They're pretty and like hard. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry. anyways, Max, who would you be?
So we have... Let me just like figure it out. So we have the bug from my dreams, which I'm just thinking, I'm just sorry, I'm co-opting it, Eric, but you're the guy from Metamorphosis. And then we have a donkey And I think I would be, to bring it to back to horror, I think I'm going to say that I'm Alan Wake.
Oh.
And I'm Alan just Wake. Really confused. Or not, I am. Alan Wake replaces me. And he's just like, Lazarus, what are you guys doing here?
This is, wow. That's really
what
good.
Tricks is the darkness playing on me? And he's like doing something like that.
Dude, was that you feel like talking, that would be Max? Like a it didn't good... even sound like you. Like, I'm shocked right now.
Max, you sounded so much cooler than you. I know that's not jazz, but that's the same. No, you.
Wow.
That was actually a really good Alan Wake impression.
It was very good.
You guys, thanks for gassing me up. I feel like I could do a good one, but that one was okay. that's what I'm thinking. Alan Wake with the bug and donkey.
Wow, quite the cast.
That would be our team. Like
that would fit really well in Alan Wake's world, which because we're already in Max.
Oh yeah,
world. Like Max is the main protagonist because he's the one who controls whether we live or die or if we can speak or not.
Hmm. Oh yeah.
That like I feel like that would fit really well. I do want to know what Dan like so, would be though,
I want to know
as
too.
The observer to this round table.
Yeah, Dan, who would you replace?
I was so pleased that I didn't have to think of anything. Well, the only fictional character that I get Dan. Compared to is Eeyore.
Aww. That's kind of like really fitting though.
Yeah, it's really good.
I can see it too.
So let me get this straight. Alan Wake is sitting at it. Alan Wake is sitting at a table with two animals and one bug. has to conduct a podcast.
I think we need to like get a picture of this going at some point.
There you go. I think these
there's ever an artist.
I think there is. I don't know if we know any artists. I don't think we know any artists.
Eric,
I think
we know plenty of artists. You are an artist.
Wow, sure. I'm a bug, I'll have you know.
Well, I'm a donkey.
There you go. I literally almost said, before even thinking of the bug, I almost thought of Jiminy Cricket. And Dan just posted a picture of Jiminy Cricket, and that's that fucking freaks me out.
Dude.
That was what I was thinking originally. I was like, I could be Jiminy Cricket. I don't know why I'm thinking about Jiminy Cricket.
Yeah, you could be
I'm
Jiminy Cricket for sure.
Bug on Max's shoulder, making him make bad decisions.
I don't like that idea. Anyways,
Max is Pinocchio.
Who wins, Dan? What's the best replacement? Who should we replace one of us with?
Well, this isn't fair at all, but Max, I've never played Alan Wake, so I don't know how good the impression was, so you went running.
Oh no.
I do think Alan Wake is like one of the most interesting ones.
I'll have to play it and get back to you.
Oh my god.
I think going on accuracy, Eric is more of a Jiminy Cricket than I can see Jasmine being a donkey, so I think Eric has to take it.
Wow.
Wow, I'm a big bug to you.
Interesting.
Big bug.
Hey, Jiminy Cricket is wise af, okay?
Alright, I'm here to make Max uncomfortable perpetually. And
Here to guide him down the right path.
Mm. I like how you've just transformed me into Jiminy Cricket.
Yeah, that's what I've been picturing, that's what it is now.
All right,
we both co-opted your general bug statement to just be like two like an like a specific
very specific thing.
Well, okay, then. So then, choose the order.
Oh, what about it?
You're picking the order because you won.
Oh, I thought. Okay, I'm sorry. I was thinking about it. I was trying to think of something up. No, I think we should go. The last one always wins, right? So it's going to be Max. No, I think it's the middle one that has a better chance of getting it. I don't know why. I feel like the first one gets forgotten by the end, and the last one is never as good as the one in the middle. Which is why I'm going to put myself last, and Jazz in the middle, and Max first.
Why? Wait, what? I'm not even winning. I'm losing. That's not fair.
Right, Max is in the middle, and Jazz, you can go first.
Okay.
I don't think that's actual like stats or facts, by the way. That was my conjecture based on my feeling.
Okay, then.
I like how you take it and run with it.
I mean, I it could be. I'm not really sure. I think we need some stats on this. I'd actually like to see some stats.
Okay, we'll have to compile some stats.
Which games get chosen. From which placement? I think that would be kind of an interesting one. Okay, anyways.
Now e por acaso que deste o peso do
orcamento. Okay, you ready, Jasmine?
Yeah,
over.
I'm,
Sorry, wait, oh, sorry.
Is that Latin?
I don't know what he's...
He's summoning something for sure.
He's summoning something. Okay, go.
Why play a game with only one silly little guy when you could play a game with over 100 silly little guys? My game is an early-gen Pokemon-inspired monster collecting game. Boot up your desktop and launch the fun-looking program you found hidden on the dark web. Collect cute and quirky monsters and watch them evolve while battling your way through the various trainers and towns. While you're playing, though, you might start to notice something strange. Bodies, blood, and monsters that look more like body horror abominations than Pikachu. Glitches in this harmless game start to raise questions. Why are the townspeople dying or trying to die? Who are the men in white masks shown on the videos you keep finding? The secret messages scattered throughout could help you find answers, but who left them, and why was this game hidden in the first place? This is a challenging turn-based monster collecting and battling game, exactly like Pokemon, but if Missing No had like taken over the whole thing. It's full of found footage and unsettling glitches. There are ARG-type puzzles requiring you to decipher the footage and messages to unlock hidden areas and story. They are supposed to be quite clever and tough, but I actually wasn't smart enough to figure out any of them by myself. It was only released a few weeks ago, so I'm not sure of the extent of the ARG elements yet. The graphics look like Game Boy Color Pokemon Ruby era. The music is upbeat chiptune. The playtime is a minimum of about 5 hours, but if you're collecting all the monsters, that goes up significantly. Also trying to uncover all the secrets. And it's actually really challenging. If you're not grinding, be expected to put thought and strategy into the battles and elements of your monsters. That is my game.
That's a very good choice. For listeners, I mentioned that I like games of silly little guys, but I didn't think it would be taken so much to heart.
Of course it was, Dad.
I have questions.
Yes.
I just need to think of what they are.
Okay.
You said there's like found footage involved in the game?
Yes.
Is it like, you know, live action videos that will pop up, or is it kind of in graphic, you know?
No, it's a live action found footage.
Sounds very cool. There's definitely some ARG stuff in there, or like you just kind of suspect, you think?
Well, the game itself is marketed as having ARG. And yeah, so like throughout the game, there are codes that kind of pop up in these videos, and there's like messages that you can like decipher. Like, for example, one of them was Morse code. And then so when you're playing the game, it's kind of like you're playing it on this virtual desktop. And when you launch the desktop, as you're playing, you like have access to put in codes to unlock things. Like I said, this is a really new game, and people were talking about stuff I had like literally didn't even see at all, or I couldn't figure it out by myself. So I couldn't find anything online because it's so new. So it's hard to say exactly how far it goes.
Yeah. Damn, that sounds really cool. We were just talking recently, I think, about I love like creepypastas and that Lavender Town stuff.
Yeah.
And, like, the
found
cartridge from of Pokemon. Challenge.
That's exactly the vibe of this game.
Sounds really good. do you guys have questions?
I don't think so.
No, I think Jazz kind of got a knock out of the park here. I can't really give her a...
Yeah, I feel like I can understand what this is, yeah.
You guys don't know what it is?
I don't know what it is, but I can understand. I can very imagine what this is. It's kind of exciting to think about.
How scary is it?
Like it's not like, how would I say this? Like traditionally scary, I guess. Like there are some really...
It's like unsettling?
Yeah, like there are some really unsettling parts where you're just not prepared for how like grim it suddenly gets, I guess, or like you're just not prepared for the thing that it has happened. It's really subtle though, the horror, other than the dead bodies and the blood and stuff, but
right.
Yeah, it's not so in your face.
Okay, I see.
So it's my turn then, I guess. I know last time we were talking about like little guys and being scary, and I feel like I was trying to find something like that, and I ended up finding something that like immediately I was like, oh, this is checking some box. I don't know for sure for Dan if this is gonna work, but like I think this was checking my boxes, and I'm like, oh, it's definitely doing something a little different. So this game essentially is I guess you could call it like a walking simulator, where you are walking through the same stretch of underground metro, essentially, to get to the exit. And you keep trying to escape, and every time you keep trying to escape, the hallway repeats itself. So it's sort of like a PTS-like game, where you're kind of noticing things change as you're walking through this place. And the main mechanic they're dealing with in this game is you have to recognize when things change. Sometimes they're called like anomalies, so think like an SCP sort of situation. So sometimes it might be simple as, oh, there's no doorknobs on the doors that you walk past in this hallway. If you see something like that, you have to turn around. Then that will lead you, you have to do that 8 times in order to escape the subway system, essentially, or like the metro, to get out of the platform. And that's really where it starts to get interesting, because it's like, it tends to be like a lot of little things. And if you miss one, you start over from the beginning. So it's about sort of like memorizing like what these changes are. And some of them are, you know, banal, like, again, like the doorknobs aren't there. And then some of them are like legitimately kind of terrifying, like where it's like, there's like, I don't want to spoil it, but there's like things that can hurt you, essentially, if you're not careful. There's like kind of like disaster kind of situations that can happen, and if you don't move fast enough, you can just die. And it's all about sort of like memorizing these patterns and memorizing these anomalies, and recognizing where they are, and, you know, building this mental map in your, or this mental library in your head, and then just knowing like, I gotta go back. And it ends up being like such a kind of addictive game, where I'm like, I like played it. And it's, again, another thing for Dan that I think is a good thing. It's really short. It's only about an hour long. You could do it in even less time than that if you were recognizing it, these patterns really good, or you get a good set of luck, and you can probably finish it in as little as, you know, 15, 20 minutes. But it's about like building that mental library of these different anomalies that can happen, checking, and there's just something so like meditative about it, but also like it will like, you know, shake you up by throwing like some like crazy thing at you occasionally. A lot of them tend to be small, but then like it like builds up to like these crazy things that can happen, and then it's like immediately, you know, like I gotta go back the other way and like run back.
Oh, sorry, Max.
It has sort of a very
Max,
realistic looking,
your time is up. Sorry, I got like really into your speech that I kind of forgot.
Oh, it's okay. It's got a realistic look to it. Yeah, realistic graphics, I would say. I'll leave it at that.
Yes, sir. I was like, oh, I know what your game is. So I was like, oh, nice. I know what you're saying. And then, yeah, I looked at the clock. It's like, oh, holy shit.
Oh, do you know the game?
I do, yeah.
What is it?
As do I. I also know the game. This is an interesting one.
Okay. I don't. Yeah, you guys are so good at picking games, though. Damn, that sounds cool. Is there, like, music throughout, or is it eerie silence?
It's like an eerie silence. It kind of it feels it's a game that's as much of it as like a surreal experience as it is like a horror experience. I think that's how I'd put it.
You said it's like it's PT like.
Yeah, it's kind of like following that same sort of hallway format where it's like you're recognizing things changing.
What is PT?
PT is the playable demo for Silent Hills, which was canceled.
Oh, right.
When
people
say PT-like, they're mostly talking about the idea that it's like an endless loop in a similar environment in which things are changing.
I see. Yeah. Okay. I get it. So there are hazards. Like, you can fail and have to restart, it sounds like.
Oh, yeah. It took me, like, probably, like, 8 or 9 tries. And near the end, like, there was, like, one thing that I kept missing. That I ended up looking up like a guide of like what are the different anomalies, and I was like, oh, that's what. In even knowing what the different anomalies were, I still like sometimes who gets things wrong, because you it is about like looking carefully, and sometimes it's like you have to make sure things aren't moving. Sometimes there's like little animations that might play out that you need to keep an eye out for,
like pattern recognition stuff.
Yeah, there's some guides that it kind of too, like if you just so it doesn't sound like a frustrating mess, it's like there's like a number of guides like that will give you like very sparse information, and they'll just like say like in a spoiler free way like this is what you kind of need to look for.
Oh, like keep
and I would actually advise, yeah, like this kind of very general kind of thing, and I would recommend looking at a guide like that, because I think it actually kind of helps, like you understand like what can change, but.
Yeah, that's I have a strong feeling that I would end up needing a guide. My yeah. mental library is full of mold.
Same though.
I guess you guys wouldn't really have questions, right? Because you know the game.
Yeah.
Well, we can come up with a good question. You should come up with one, Jazz. I was trying to think of one. In terms of, is there, just to add flavor for Dan, is it usually one, like say bad guy or bad entity, or is everything a suspect?
I would say everything is. I mean, it's more to think about like the everything. A lot of different things about this hallway can change, and like sometimes there's more obvious threats, and sometimes it's more, you know, not subtle.
It's an entity.
I mean, I guess you could think about it as being like the whole thing, the whole hallway is like an SCP, where it's like things can change. There's like thing. There definitely are like kind of like creatures that can appear, things like that.
Max, I'll check your DMs real quick.
Uh oh.
Oh no.
What does that mean?
Do you guys have the same game?
We may have come to a similar conclusion. Uh-oh. Which is not bad.
That's not the same game.
Oh,
it's not the same game. There's
getting a sense that Eric has a very similar game.
I think Eric does have a very similar game.
Okay. Well, never mind then. I didn't mean to play my cards. Yeah, let's go.
Okay. So then, Eric, it's your turn. Let's hear this similar game to what I just described.
Okay, God, someone set a timer.
Okay, set it. Ready? Go.
You've just boarded your train in Japan. It's a Shinkansen, a high-speed rail. But something's not quite right. As you walk down the carriage, you talk to a girl and her brother. There's an old man sitting aside, not talking. And a weird, strange hooded figure sitting in one of the seats. But as you proceed through the car, you realize that as you travel to the next one, nothing changes. You're stuck in an endless loop, walking forward or back, trying to figure out what might not be right. The further you walk into danger, the more likely you are to not come back, and you must always be aware of even the smallest detail changing before you proceed. This game is a procedural game in which you are on a Shinkansen train, traveling either forward or reverse in the cars, trying to figure out what might be wrong. If you think you can trust the environment around you, proceed. But if even the slightest thing is off, you should trace your steps back. Though that might not always be the case. This game is a very realistic kind of looking game, which actually adds a lot to the sense of horror. And its overall ambiance is quite muted, as it's just the sound of the train cars and things kind of worrying around you. It must be quite late at night, because the view outside the window is quite dark, and you never quite know where you're at. I'm trying to differentiate this from Max's game. This game takes place in modern day. You can interact and talk to characters and people in the game. Sometimes the rules will change and you should pay attention. The game has a lives-based system in which the more mistakes you make, the closer you are to death, and there are definitely things in the environment that you need to respond to because they might be able to hurt you. This game had me on the edge of my seat and quite tense because although you usually don't have a pressure to advance or not, your life depends on you being able to spot the most minute detail. And sometimes you have to do that under quite a lot of pressure. That'll be my game. Jesus Christ.
Wow.
Oh my God. The similarities. This is so funny.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My game came out first.
All right. My game's better.
My game's better.
I mean, one of them's on a bullet train, one of them's on a metro. Those are different.
Yeah, mine's like in the hallway. It's not actually on a train. It's on the hallway leaving the train.
Mine's in a train car. I see. Yeah, see, mine is on a train car. You know, it's a little different. It's kind of...
there's some difference.
I'll stop. I can't describe my game.
I actually think I know your game as well, Eric.
I'm sure.
You know both of those games?
I'm pretty sure I do know both of them. I definitely know Max. I'm like 80% I'm sure I know Eric, so.
Okay. Well, are there questions, Dan?
Yeah.
Do you want to ask
about... how often did you... You said there's like a lives-based system. How often did you die?
Like, I never died fully. But, you know, you only have so many chances to mess up. I think that's kind of more what's going on. Right. It is quite difficult. And there's once or twice where you kind of make a rash decision. And the differences that you can see in your environment can be quite surreal. So you don't quite know what to rely upon.
Spooky.
Probably the first go through, you'll die. Because you'll miss something quite small.
Did you say about how long it is?
I think six separate levels. But I'm trying to remember now. Main plus extras is the main story. The main way to get through it is 49 minutes. And it mostly has to do with you kind of tracing back and forth in the cars.
So it copied my game, so my game should win.
Sure, but you know. Oh, God. I
maybe
wish
it
I'd...
perfected your game.
Oh, maybe.
Your game walks maybe, so maybe. The game could run.
Exactly. I mean, my game's technically copying another game, so it's like. Who's really copying who?
There's no voice acting. Is there? You said like there's an old man and a.
There's like a cast of characters which you actually have to keep track of, and they're not voice acted, but they have text.
No music, eh? Very interesting.
No crunchy sound.
Not crunchy at all.
No, it's definitely there's probably some crunchy. No music, but I think what plays into the horror aspect and the immersion is the realistic sound. And that it's the sounds ambiance. Of a train. And when that ambiance is off, you can tell.
Okay, yeah, I see how that could work.
So only one crunchy this time.
Well, you see there's a little bit of crunch in there. How crunchy is yours?
I said mine doesn't have much crunch or any crunch. It's just ambiance, too. So it's just Jasmine with the crunch.
God, this
is
so
I wouldn't even
stupid.
Really call it crunch.
Well, apparently, Jasmine's game has like VHS tapes.
It does.
So it's
that's kind of crunchy.
Apparently crunchy.
Does it?
Yeah.
Well, she said right, tapes.
Yeah, like the video.
Yeah. Yeah, it does have. Yeah, I guess yeah, there is crunchy. There is crunchy in it.
Mm-hmm. They okay. definitely. There's occasionally static that comes up in my game. You could call it like static. Ooh. But
anything you guys are wondering?
I was so thrown off by
my
Max's description and Max's game because I was almost sure that it was mine.
Yeah, what are the odds, man?
That's so funny. I'm like it definitely was influenced by my game because I know my game got quite popular. But
I know my game is quite popular and is made by a popular
person.
Developer. Yeah, that we enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Anyways. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So we've gone through our. Mm-hmm. We've gone through all of our things together. and yeah.
Well, I hope Dan has remembered to think about a theme underlying theme that we might have touched upon.
Oh, yes. We sure haven't.
That is important.
Oh, no.
Before we say our choices, would you like to reveal a theme that you have totally been thinking of this entire time? And whoever gets this theme, if anyone's game matches that theme, they get an extra point.
It literally doesn't work after we've talked about the game.
Let me just announce the theme that I've known about this entire time.
Oh, no, it's going to be...
Trains. It's okay. Looping. You can. We get both get the point. That's fine.
The theme was... What is it? E.T.?
Hey!
No. You can't say the theme was that.
You can't. I didn't know what the theme was.
Games with female protagonists.
You're reading that off the paper right there.
Right. My game is self-insert protagonist, I believe.
I have no idea if mine's with female protagonist. Jasmine, what about you?
Well, so mine, you can choose your gender. So technically, does have.
Would you call yourself a protagonist?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
what else would you be?
You could be a antagonist. You could be a who knows.
Really, your game is in third person, so you're like a genderless, omniscient blob looking down. Right?
I mean, I could be a woman in my game. I don't know. Yeah, that's a good point.
My game's in first person, so I'm you. You're yourself, Dan.
It's also I'm you. So do we all get a point?
How I'd identify when I boot up the game.
There you go.
Shit, I think Jasmine, I just snagged another point.
Are you going to give her think? That?
I don't think
that. I'm leaving that up to...
It's like a female-presenting body.
Wait, you said you pick.
Yep.
Well, yeah, you do pick. But you can't pick
female. If you pick, though, it's questionable. Yeah, I guess I would agree with that.
All right.
Mostly because I don't want Jasmine to get another point.
Wow. I'm sensing something here.
I mean, I would probably pick male if that sways it.
Yeah, fair enough.
Okay.
0 points.
So then no extra 0 points for anyone for this theme that was thought of in advance.
Far in advance.
Far in advance. Now, Dan, it's your time to discuss your thoughts. What are you thinking? Who's going to take home the crown this week? Who's
going to
get a date with Dan? Who's going to get a date with Dan?
Who gets the date with Dan? I hate this part. I always want to play all of them. We've got Jasmine's sort of corrupted, spooky... Pokemon inspired, collect all the silly little guys, dark web horror. Max's walking sim in a locomotive with a changing environment type of thing, and Eric's walking sim locomotive in the changing environment sort of thing.
mine's in the hallway outside the train.
Oh yeah, sorry. When I was writing down notes, I wrote down Metro when you mentioned it, so that's what I keep seeing.
I couldn't figure out the way to describe it. It's more of like the hallway that you would exit to get to the stairs.
Like,
you know,
the
mean?
Train station.
Like a metro station.
Yeah.
Yeah, like the train station. Yeah.
Mm. Max is an American. He wouldn't know what one of those is.
So do I want to be
just the neighborhood is
in the creepy train, just outside the creepy train, or in the spooky Pokemon?
Again, you're lucky that if you choose Max or mine, my game, it's literally the same game. So, like, it actually brings this down to just a binary decision of Jazz or
yeah,
mine.
That is true. I'm basically thinking now if I'm picking between Jasmine's or other. Yeah. It would just be flipping a coin between you two.
Well, again, I think it's very clear. You're either choosing between Jasmine's games or my game.
I think it's between my game. My game is the original game. It was made before it, probably heavily influenced Eric's. So I'm like, I think sure. If anyone all right, gets
I wasn't
the,
gonna
the
drop
choice
this,
from us.
But oh my game was made by Chilla's Art.
Oh. Hey, that's a spoiler. That's a spoiler. My game is made by Kotake. You can't look that up, though.
Okay, I won't. I really don't want to give Jasmine more points, but... I think
No. Are you kidding me?
I really liked the butt in there. That was good.
I really like Pokemon.
Oh my god.
I know you like Pokemon.
What the hell?
That was cheating.
Oh, come on, guys. I had a good pick this week.
Pokemon horror games are
done. We didn't know he liked Pokemon.
This is a Dan-centric game.
I don't think I've ever played a Pokemon horror game.
Oh, well, you were talking about, like, the Pokemon spook stuff.
Yeah, but those are all, like, stories, you know?
Okay, well, moving on. You picked my game.
What was your game, Jazz? I want to see.
My game.
This is the one I didn't know.
My game is called Monstronomy.
Ooh. Oh, this looks super cute already.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
They got like a greed looking guy. They got a little camel with guns. They got, this is definitely Pokemon ripoffs.
But you should like, just like kind of click through the pictures. They're not all cute.
They're all cute. They got Dolphin Horizon games. There's a lot of gun.
Has every game we've chosen this year been an RPG Maker game? I feel like it's happened like four times.
Dude, would you call this an RPG Maker game or like a GB Game Boy Color game?
Oh, this is totally RPG Maker game.
No, it's really not. I promise you, Max. It's way more like Pokemon than RPG Maker.
It's way more skin than that. It's way more skin than that, yeah. Max.
Oh, there's nothing wrong with them. I just think it was really funny that we like that chose.
So Jasmine's game is classic, kind of, I would say, like a GBA to early DS kind of Pokemon setup with the opposing Pokemon and all that. All of them are really cool, unique, biblical, gun-based, disgusting like concepts. And for some reason, when you pick up VHSs, there's just real-life VHS footage of like scary people and people in bondage.
Are you sure this is 4 hours? Oh, never mind. I was seeing a bunch of people that have played 40 hours.
Well, because if you're collecting the monsters, like you can really pour some time into this.
Okay.
You catch them all.
The option is yours. Like,
the option this one is there, just like Sableye or whatever, like straight up.
Yeah. This looks really cute. Oh, I'm excited to play this. Well then, Max, do you want to post ours at the same time to Dan so that he can see our genius Kojumbo?
Oh man, Kojumbo. I gotta find mine.
That is so funny. Let me pull it up.
I'm so defeated. I've tried so hard.
I'm more defeated by the fact that I thought I had the same game as Max because of the basic description. I know what Max's game is too. But because of our history,
like if you guys hadn't canceled each other out, one of you probably would have won. If there,
oh my god!
I know that. My game was Shinkansen Zero.
My game is the Exit 8, and I definitely know for sure that Shinkansen Zero is a take on Exit 8 because Exit 8 went super viral last year.
It did. And Chilla's
Chilla makes a game like every 2 months.
Wow, they're even both Chilla in Japan. At, wow.
Yeah, they're both. Well, it like went like.
It says more like this, the Exit 8.
Yes. No, exactly. I do like that Shinkansen Zero is twice the price of Exit 8.
Exit 8, though, your game has more to it, definitely, for sure. Like, I think they definitely expanded it with that live system you're talking about.
Oh, well, kind of. It's just the fact that you can fail once or twice and then you die. I don't think it's entirely expanded because I do know Exit 8.
Yeah.
But it is funny. So Max and I could do it at the same time, but my game is one in which, as I described, you're going through a Shinkansen. Once Max kind of revealed the whole concept, I didn't really have to describe the concept. So it was more just like, yeah, you're going through. There's a lot of, I would say, subversive, like, kind of weird anomalies, which if you're familiar with the anomaly genre at this point, it is starting to get a little drawn out. But there's some really unsettling ones because of the way you're set up in the train, in which you're usually walking towards the backs of the chairs. And so there's a lot of, like, even though it's a simple environment in which you're knowing what's ahead of you, there's a lot of like, oh, there's like faces in the seats, or there's like the certain lights are off or on, and that kind of thing that mean you have to observe this environment a little more deeply. Whereas you, Max, you can describe yours a bit better.
I mean, mine's pretty much the same sort of thing. I mean, like, I don't know what else to say about it. Because it's like it's a very simple game, and honestly, like I like even when I got like frustrated with it, I like still like I had something about the format just like kept pushing me to like be like I gotta figure this out. I don't know why this is not working.
That
I would,
no, there's definitely some of that. I think
then you get it, and then it's like, oh, yes, I got out.
Play both, and then like one, you know, one of them you're in the train, and then we can play the other one as a successor. Of like now you're outside of the train,
dude. That's such a good idea. That's a marathon, yeah. Two.
They could always be like that. I know there's two endings for my Shinkansen Zero, and there's a little bit more to figure out. It definitely can get frustrating, though I genuinely did find the environment quite tense. I like Chilla's, but I can't say that this is Chilla's most unique concept for a game. By any means.
Yeah, this one, the Exit 8 or whatever, there was like a bunch of like Japanese companies that were like making commercials with the idea, and they like licensed it. Like there was like, it went viral. It
really
blew
up in Japan. And then Chilla's said, this is a great idea. Both are worth a quick play. Maybe Shinkansen Zero less so than Exit 8 at this point, because Exit 8's half the price. But, you know, both are worth a look.
Yeah.
And I'm excited to play this.
Minestrone.
Pastrami. Okay.
Pastrami. Anyways, so now we're looking at the terrible scoreboard with me with 0, Jasmine with 4, Dan with 1. I mean, Dan, you're catching up. Eric, you got 0.
Oh,
you're
doing great.
Looking bleak. It's looking bleak.
See, my goal this season was just to keep you down.
Just to keep everyone at 0.
Yeah, I was just here to keep you down. I was trying to hold you.
It's funny, like how we're like weirdly trading off. Because last year, you won last year, right?
Yeah.
So then it was like you were ahead like 90% of the time last time. And then the first year, I think it was Dan. Dan won the first time. Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't think it was you were ahead like that much.
Oh yeah, maybe it wasn't.
Maybe it was. I don't know.
All I'm saying is it has to be next season is my season.
Dude, I don't know. There's still like more than half a year left. It still could be a max season.
That's pretty unlikely, but thank you for believing in me.
I think your lack of belief in yourself, Max, is what dooms you to fail.
Oh, yeah.
Until you resolve that, you're never going to succeed at this
video.
Okay. You're like way too preoccupied with actually having to produce this podcast.
Okay, Mr. copied my game.
Yeah. Look, the other option was this. I do want to shout it out because I thought it was cute too. It's Vesperia Hotel. A little like 3D game in which you're a little cat like night manager at a little
cat
hotel.
Boy.
Cat boy. Are you fuck off? Fuck.
I'm looking at it.
Oh, you're looking at it. You're just making fun of me talking.
This has a cool look to it.
It's got a cute little
kind of like it's got like that 2D 3D look that you see with a lot of like PS1 RPGs.
Mm-hmm.
You should have saved this one. This looks like a good game too.
I was just gonna say this looks like a very Dan game.
Yeah.
Sorry. Well, I don't think that.
I might have won. You know. Is there anything anyone else wants to mention?
I'm excited.
So this is our
time
to talk about what we've been playing, what we've been watching, what we've been reading,
what we've been playing,
running
and reading, running the school. I had here's the only fun thing I've done. I watched a Toll show, like the not Toll. What's it called? That's the Swedish word. My partner's been practicing up on their Swedish, and they were watching one of those Border Patrol shows. Or not the Border Patrol, the Border... what is it? The fucking customs shows. Where, like, it's like the Australian one where, like, they seize people's... Honey? These people's no, they, yeah, they're honey, or they're like the food they're bringing into Australia. Well, there's one for Sweden, which is quite funny because Sweden's quite a peaceful country, and the majority of the show is just people not speaking Swedish and having to speak to these people speaking Swedish for the TV program. Mostly like dudes from Colombia bringing back coca leaves, being like, "What? It's a medicine. I don't understand." Like old men, and then there's an entire segment where. They send a guy from more or less like a guy with like a deep southern accent in Swedish up into the north of Sweden to talk to Finnish people, and he'll ask them if they can speak Swedish and they reply yes, and then he starts talking to them, and then they go like kind of like help somebody get a translator. So I've been enjoying that. That's the Swedish I think it's called Customs or something like that show.
Wow.
And then it caused me to have a night sleep paralysis while I was out and about, which was great. So my first sleep paralysis in years happened as well. So that's the other spooky thing I watched, which was the door in my Airbnb being opened by a giant shadowy figure. And then it looming over.
Oh, my God.
And being like,
oh, I thought you were saying,
why are you bringing cocoa leaves?
That the custom show, yeah, like something.
I think it was the custom show. It was the custom show that caused it. Sorry, my connection there is that we were watching a custom show falling asleep, and so I fell asleep on my back with like out of pillow.
And I woke up. And the customs guy came up. Yeah.
You can't bring honey into Canada, Eric.
You can't bring honey into Canada.
We're referencing something that happened, but yeah.
Yeah, I had some fun experiences traveling over the border.
Honey was taken by force.
Canucks are crooked.
Yes.
Fuck Toronto.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry about your Hat Man experience.
No, that's all right.
But I'm glad you got to see the customs video in the Swedish.
I'll say another nightmare caused in Sweden was well, just to add in, this is because we didn't watch anything or do anything. My other nightmare caused in Sweden was that my partner learned about how everybody in Europe has these robot lawnmowers, and it caused her to proceeded to have a dream about a robot lawnmower cutting off the tail of our dog.
Oh no!
Which she then woke up and went, "Those things are bad." And then every time we'd see one, because every garden had a robot lawnmower going and mowing the grass.
Oh my god!
No, not that. All right, you can cut all this, Max. I don't know. That one's just for you.
That one's interesting. I'm keeping it in.
Nice.
I'm keeping
it in. Oh god.
All right. So
what about you?
Yeah, Jasmine and Dan, what have you guys been doing?
I started Cyberpunk.
Oh, are you kidding me?
Nice.
Why? Did you also start Cyberpunk?
No. Go ahead.
He definitely just started Cyberpunk as well.
Finally played a game. God damn it.
What?
No, go on.
What was it?
Go. You go first.
Oh god.
You go first.
I started Cyberpunk. It's actually pretty fun so far. Even though I don't like first person games very much, I am enjoying it. I've only encountered
one Cyberpunk.
Dude, that is. We can't have two doubles on the same episode.
Why are you playing this like a now 5-year-old game all of a sudden?
Why are you playing this 5-year-old game all of a sudden?
Because that's the damn thing to do.
Yeah, that's true.
I had a friend who had to like leave the country for a few months, so I have his PS5 with Cyberpunk on it. And I was like, oh, I guess I'll try that. That's my reason. I have a reason.
When did you start? We'll see who's the OG.
Probably like 3 days ago.
Okay. You were the second.
Oh,
that is so funny though. Yeah, no, I'm really I'm enjoying it. The thing I really like about CD Red games is that like their choices aren't so black and white like with BioWare. I really like having to make tough choices, and then also it's kind of cool that it's this sort of setting, because even if you normally play like a sort of hero, good-hearted character, you can kind of be like an anti-hero almost in this one.
Yeah, that's been my experience too.
That is so funny.
I've been playing Cyberpunk as well. I have been playing a Cyberpunk-esque game though, I've been playing Soul Hackers 2. It's like, it's made by Atlas. Similar, it's halfway between an SMT game, a Shin Megami Tensei, and a Persona. So like, it's not, from what I've understand it, I haven't played a Shin Megami Tensei game before, as far as like the more hardcore series that Atlas does. It has a lot more story elements, social links, and things like that that you would expect from a Persona game, but it's at a higher difficulty, I'd say, than Persona is. And essentially how it works is, if you're not familiar with the series, it's kind of like Pokemon a little bit. As you collect these different demons you can hire or encounter during dungeons, and each one has its own weaknesses, strengths. It has different abilities that can be used to attack various guys. If you're familiar with Persona, this is all going to sound fairly familiar, but like, unlike in Persona, where basically it's only the protagonists that can change out their demons or their Pokemon, or those that aren't familiar with it, you can change out all of the characters' demons, so it allows you to customize everyone's weaknesses, oftentimes on the fly. You can change them in the middle of battle, and it's like a really, like, it was kind of glossed over a little bit. I think a lot of people kind of like didn't really care for it very much when it came out, because it was a little bit of a disappointment compared to Shin Megami Tensei 5 and Persona 5, and obviously the first game, it's a lot different from. Then and next Jazz time we will play
the same game.
They play the same game.
Oh, wait, I have a thing, actually.
Oh, you have another thing.
I've been watching the new Fallout series.
I've been hearing good things about it.
Yeah, it's pretty not terrible. Especially by.
That's a great endorsement.
Video game translated to series standards. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Did you play the games?
I played a lot of Fallout 4, but I think that's it. I think that's the only one I played. But the series, I think they really looked at Fallout 4 because a lot of the songs are in the exact same one from that specific game.
Nice.
Pretty good, though. Check it out.
Check all that stuff out that we mentioned if you're interested in it. Or don't if you're not. For next episode, though, we're going to be playing... I already forgot what it's
Monstronomy.
Called. Monstronomy.
Monstronomy.
And play along with that if you're interested in kind of tuning into our discussion with more of a more knowledge on the game itself. So you can like and share the pod, leave a review on Apple Podcasts or on your app of choice. And you can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at TGNightPod. Our next episode should be on May 19th. Otherwise, see you next time. Bye.
Bye.
Goodbye. Max, you should make your death sound.